You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Now I'm a union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out, brothers, out, and the rise of the company's fall. Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. Till the day I die. Till the day I die.
As a union woman, I'm wise to the lies of the company spies.
And she don't.
Good morning, members and listeners to Radical Radio 3CR. You're with the Fire Up MUA program. My name's David Ball. I'm the Deputy Secretary of the Victorian Branch, and I'm here with Robbie Lumsden, the Secretary.
You are here with me, David. It's good to see you.
Very good. Aaron Moon, how are you?
Well, thank you, David. How are you?
Good. And Jason Farrow, how are you, Jase?
I'm great, thank you. Morning, listeners.
And, of course, we've got Annie, our producer. How are you, Annie?
I'm okay. It's nice weather today.
Yeah.
And Dean's obviously an apology this week.
Dean is an apology. He's in the ACF negotiation.
ACFS.
ACFS. Yep. So, yeah, they've just commenced. I think today's the second meeting, but
He's a little bit tied up.
Yep.
That's okay.
And not much talk about the Bulldogs this week.
No, I think there's a lot to talk about the Bulldogs. Gee whiz. What happened there? Yeah. And should have got smashed. My eyes were reading the game at all, but anyhow, no
good. Of course, the Richmond.
First time coach. Well, we're not expected to win, so it's different for us.
Sure.
So, no, footy is certainly up and about, and lots of changes there. And wouldn't you like to be a footy coach? The way they.
Yeah.
They don't sack. Well, they didn't sack him.
No, absolutely not.
It's pretty ruthless, isn't it?
They should start a footy coaches union and try and get some bloody job security.
I'd like to be a dollar behind them, but anyhow, that's another story.
So the budget came down last week, and it had some changes to negative gearing and capital gains tax, which probably affects some of our better off members.
Some of our better off members. Well, some have worked hard and managed to, invest wisely rather than.
I think that the
bet on the Bulldogs to win footy games. You know, they're probably.
The proposal is pretty pretty considered in the fact that it's grandfathered it. So for people who have made decisions, and some of our members will have made decisions under a previous set of rules, those rules still sit in place. And I guess the goal of them is to have it positively geared anyway. So the decision won't affect anybody who's made all the... The rule changes won't affect anybody who's made the decision previously to invest in property, but what it does is try and level out the playing field for those entering the property. So a lot of our younger members, and what we're seeing now is that we do have a lot of younger members. I think we had a look at our membership at one point and 30% of the Victorian branch's membership weren't even born when the Patrick's dispute happened. So got a lot of a younger membership who will be set to benefit in a small way from this policy change. And it's interesting to see the mainstream media's critique of it and how Jim Chalmers is a communist. And it's like the world itself is ending.
And guess what?
Actually changed for people who made decisions under him. So,
for all those people that have done more than just well out of it, they're not going to be... any the worse off.
Yeah.
They're still going to be fine. Yeah. But the one that got me was the change in the trusts, because that's just been a total rot.
That's the reason the cucks for Murdoch at all the various press establishments are really driving this public outrage by it, because it's their mates that it protects. Like the Treasury graphs show that it was like 30% of it comes from the top 1%, and the next 30% comes from the top 10% of wealthy
people, yeah.
Right? And all the government is saying that is that if you work hard, if you go to work like our members do every day, turn up, work hard, and that money gets taxed at a certain rate, then people who just sit at home with pockets or portfolios full of assets and are reaping wages off of that should be taxed the same. Yeah. Your work is now valued the same as theirs.
And of course,
they're taxed the same as yours.
Well, I mean, like just an aside, you talk about the wealthy. When I looked at the visit of the lunatic to China, and he takes along Elon Musk with him. Like, what is going on with the world when money? And I understand money and power rules. That's probably unfortunate. Maybe a bit of truth in that, but look at this.
Calling Jim Chalmers a communist is hardly real. I mean, maybe if he had have nationalised the NDIS, then, you know, that would have been a good move instead of cutting $37.8 billion off it. Of course, there is a lot of rorting.
Which then takes you to the fact that a lot of the money has gone into financing American wars by putting a lot of money into our defence budget. Well, it should be offensive budget.
Yeah, and all that money's been spent on the AUKUS deal, of course, or most of it. And apparently by 2033, it'll be 3% of GDP. So defence budget could have been cut instead of it's growing. Call it communism, but he really could have made some good moves.
It's a bit hilarious. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyhow, that's the world. That's the world, isn't it? The world is just, it's fair thing. I've never, as you get older, you sort of go, but my God, I've never seen the world in such a, I know it's hard to believe when you look at me.
And
you wouldn't think so.
The other thing, there's been a lot of lobbying around the gas exporters. You know, no tax was introduced on them. So there is a lot more they could do to improve the standard of living for workers.
We export it and then buy it back.
Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing, it's not a bad thing about the negative gearing, but it's interesting, isn't it? Because it's governing by public relations, or they would have done polling to find that young people's dissatisfaction about not being able to get homes was very high on the agenda. However, the issue of warmongering and also the business of a whole range of other things that the fossil fuel, the increasing, like what is it, something like 12 new coal mines have been auspiced in, and they want, and the New South Wales government has reduced its gas exploration fee from $50,000 to $1,000 so that international companies can come in and completely rape the environment. Australia is an old continent and it's a delicate ecology. They've knocked down the only Jarrah forests we have in the world for exploration for rare earths over in Western Australia. And they want to frack the Kimberleys while at the same time advertising it as a tourist destination. It does your head in a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was very little money. Well, the climate change, and that was actually cut.
We don't know even enough to think that the government's doing things for altruistic reasons, are they? Because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, no.
Absolutely doing it so they can get re-elected.
Yeah.
So negative gearing, good thing, but it's certainly what's that thing where someone said the other day about when I went to a public housing rally thing, the guy says, it's a bit like looking after a kid, you know, when they're acting up, tell them to look at the birdie. So that
and a lot of that goes on.
So that's the budget. Look, more information around that to come and to follow as it gets analysed further. We're going to go to our first song, Earth to Eve, No Kings. Hope you enjoy it.
He ain't your prophet, only preaches for profits. Gives you the rope to sell you a coffin. That man is godless, stuff in his pockets. But all he can spare is a life isn't fair when the poor man is starving. Damn, that man is heartless. No king, no god, just flesh and blood. Down here there's laws that no man's above.
G'day, members. Welcome back to Fire Up MUA. You're with the Fire Up MUA team.
Where'd you find that song from, Dave?
Oh, you know, just found it.
It's a great song. They're a great band.
Great band.
Yeah.
Well done. You do quite well with the song.
Right, we're going to go into some industrial reports. First of all, I want to talk a little bit about the Gore Kappa EA negotiations.
Which stands for?
The Great Ocean Road Committee.
And Port Authority?
No, Parks Authority.
Parks.
Yeah, it's a new one for us. It covers the Port of Apollo Bay workers who do a great job down there in Apollo Bay. One of the big issues is the standby allowance under their current agreement, which was the Colac Otway Shire agreement. They've just been taken over by the Great Ocean Road Committee. They get they have to be available for emergencies at the port, and so they're on every weekend. So that's become a big issue because there is nothing in the Gorpacka agreement to cover that off. So we'll have to make sure that we bring those conditions across from the Colac Otway Shire agreement, but those boys spend a lot of time dredging the entrance to the port of Apollo Bay, doing wharf maintenance, putting boats up on slips. They do quite a lot of work. So, we're looking forward to bringing their standards and their conditions up to the standard and the level that our members enjoy in other ports. So, second meeting's this week.
Good. Put some delegates there who are quite solid and behind you.
Yeah, for sure. Good. Yeah. Scotty Davis is doing a great job. Good on you, Scotty.
Aaron, DP World, that seems to be one of those gifts that keep on giving.
Yeah, it's, What do you say about DP World? Lucky I don't listen to my mother, and when she said, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all, I'd be bloody silent. They are a shit pot mob. They are just, honestly, they go from bad to worse consistently. And in their persistent endeavour to try and automate wharfies out of work, they look like they're moving ahead with it now. So they've issued a go live date for Brisbane for February, but they are yet to issue one, or at least time of recording this, for the Melbourne. However, we are...
And the go-live date, just to explain to the members, the go-live date's very important because...
Very important. It dictates the schedule of meetings and timeline to agreement for...
9 months.
...for roles, rosters and labour requirements under Appendix 4 of the Enterprise Agreement. And it gives us a 9-month, 6 months really, but 3-month intensive, 9 month, to 9 months to get it done. So that is underway. They've now issued that go live date. Interestingly, after we had the federal court decision, the federal court decision was around whether or not how the selection of the independent panel was made up. We were saying that we should get two choices and they should get one. Well, the MUA should get one choice, the workers should get one choice, independent of the union, and they should get one. The court found that it's one from our side and one from their side, and then an agreed person. Which is fine, and we're analysing that decision to see what other impacts it has on the workforce and the campaign.
So again, to the broader membership who are listening, there's a Appendix 4 which sits around that talks about the automation, how it's to be dealt with, and then if after these in the go live date of the 9 months and negotiations take place and we don't get to an agreement, then there's an independent panel formed, and that's what you're talking about.
And that's got the power to arbitrate those
to arbitrate
outstanding items.
And that's why it's extremely important to get the the independence of it correct.
Yes, absolutely. And so we're going through that decision now and seeing what impact it has on the campaign as it rolls out. We're set to meet with, well, the company's reached out and asked to meet with the Victorian branch around rosters relating to automation. We've proposed Thursday, so today, this Thursday, and we are just awaiting their response at time of recording, but we will hopefully, for the first time, get information about the rosters that they've sent roster patterns out to our members here. That honestly, I don't even know if they've looked at them because on one day you finish night shift and then the very next day you start day shift. Like you finish night shift, you have to do a night shift Sunday and then a day shift Monday.
Yeah,
on one of the roster patterns. It's just
and there's
they're not paying it seriously.
And it goes from day to evening to night. And
they were just they honestly those patterns just look to be rage baiting for our members. So we hopefully will get into a meeting with them where they can provide some sort of idea and detail around it. And then once we know that, we'll report back to our members as to where the company's at. But when Ben Krosky sent out that email with the roster patterns in them, and they were forwarded to me by about 398 different Wharfies, that was the first time that the union had seen some of those patterns, and certainly the only time they provided anything other than anything with the slightest slither of substance within in November of 2025, where they provided that 12-hour roster pattern, we told them to get fucked on. So that's where it's at. Really, there's no update other than we're still continuing discussions.
So these rosters, we're not looking at the 35-hour week roster. We're looking at different alternatives to that, say around a 32 or a 29.5-hour week or something along those lines, which falls into the campaign theme of the no loss of jobs, no loss of pay, and automation by agreement. So, you know, as things continue to move, I think the roster, if there's to be an agreed position around the rostering and there was a reduction in hours, then it'd be up to the membership to say, well, that's all right if the salary stays the same.
Yeah.
So but that's, our that, position. But those things have got to keep moving together.
Yeah. And the position of the union is that if we are doing a reduction in hours or average weekly hours via rosters, that the pay has to remain the same.
Yeah, that's right.
That's no loss of pay.
Yeah, that's what that's all.
No jobs, no loss of pay. And so if we're getting paid the same or more to do less hours,
it's something for the membership
to take
on board.
Like a dividend for the membership, for the productivity that they will give the company and the automation supplement.
But the membership will, at the end of the day, we'll debate this.
Yeah.
And end of the day, it'll be the membership who decide, as with everything. And this is a big deal.
Yeah.
And so it'll be the membership who decide whether...
absolutely. And when there's a decision to be made...
And when we actually get something concrete from them,
we'll be back to the membership with the same
This is what they're putting up.
This is where we're at. This is what we think. You tell us where you want us to go with it. That's how it will play out.
Yeah.
And that'll happen. That'll be... The go live date will kind of guide when those decisions need to be made as well. So that's on foot at the moment.
All right. So we'll move on to Jason. Jason, you've been doing a fair bit of work with Sea Road Ferries, Mark.
Yes, certainly have. Sea Road Ferries.
Are you more welcome today than you were, say, a week ago?
I definitely am more welcome.
Oh, that's good.
I've seen a big shift there in probably the last week to 2 weeks. Towards the union, that is, and the workers down there are finally starting to see the benefits of what the union can offer them, not only in bargaining, but in support as well. Big shift in the clerks and ticketing down there. They've got a majority support up. They want to renegotiate their EA as well.
You want to explain that to the membership, because not everyone knows what a majority support is.
Yeah, so majority support. We've got, there's probably 23, 25 Turks and clicketing down there. So what do? Is I go through to the crew down there with the right of entry, and I speak to the members and the potential members down there, and they want to explain to them the benefits of getting an enterprise agreement. Their one expired back in 2011. Wow. And then, you know, I express the benefits, and they sign on to a petition in favour of the union going in and supporting them to help negotiate a new enterprise agreement.
That's it.
And, you know, they've come on board leaps and bound. And then they realise that they've barely kept up with the award, I should say, and that they want to negotiate as well with the company and have the union behind them for the support.
So that majority support goes to the...
Well, if the company that accepted, well, we submit it to the
Fair Work Commission. Yeah.
And then the Naval's...
They've got no option, really.
They'll issue a direction to commence bargaining. Yeah. And so we're at that point. Jay's at that point with... we're in the commission with them for the Sorrento Ferry,
Western Port
Ferry, and now the ticketing and clerks, and they just... At some point, the penny will drop, and that they're just wasting money on lawyers when
they're going to deal with us. They have to deal with us. Yeah.
Their membership want to form a union. Or their employees want to form a union.
Become part of a union.
Yeah, become part of a union. Well, become part of a union as a union for their workplace, and we're here to facilitate that. And that's what it is. They're the union. They have to negotiate with their members.
No, thanks, Jase. Thanks, Jase. That's good.
Western Port as well. We do have a strong union membership down there, and they've got a majority support determination up as well. So, they want the union behind them and want to negotiate a new agreement as well.
It's been tough. Sorry, Dave. It's been tough getting in there. Like, it hasn't been just go on, have a chat. It's been a tough road.
It's been a super tough road, especially with the Marine crew on the vessels. Well, we will get a seat at the table there as well, as we do have members, and we're in the commission with those as well. So it's been a tough road, and as we continue the bargaining process, so they'll see how the union negotiates, and we'll get more members on board.
Yeah, no, great work there, mate. And you're also involved in the Bhagwan EA, which has just commenced.
That's correct. Aaron and I was down there earlier this week, last week. Yeah, small steps there. We still got some big ticket items to negotiate, but initially, we made some good progress there.
Yeah, there is some good progress happening down there. We're on meeting two on the date that we had meeting five scheduled, so we've still got a path ahead of us to get to the pointy end. But their agreement expires on the 23rd of June, and we'll be looking to get some movement at or before then from the company.
How's it looking? Is there a lot on the table there?
There's a bit to go.
Yeah, fair enough.
And that they mainly, they're divers and wharf carpenters and marine crew?
Yeah, that's correct. Divers, wharf carpenters, marine crew. And the good thing about the company, they've also expressed that they want more full-time employment down there.
Yeah.
So that's something we're going to push with our members as well. They've got some good contract works coming up. They've got the station pier contract for this year and potentially another 9 years also. So they've expanded a lot over the previous agreement. They've gone running from one or two dive teams at the start of an enterprise agreement 4 years ago to running 12 to 6 teams now. So it just goes to show that a union agreement companies, you know, especially here in Melbourne, grow a lot over those years.
All right. That brings us towards the end of the show. I hope you've enjoyed it. We're going to go out. Oh, we've got just a quick mention, our monthly meeting on Tuesday, the 26th of May. If all the members could get along to that, that'd be great. Starts at 10:30 at the MUA office here in Island Street. Thanks for your time today.
I forget where you work. Jesus, a bit of a...
We're going to...
having a crack at him about seniors moments, and here you go.
We're going to go out with another Earth to Eve song, Threat Level Orange. Hope you enjoyed the show.
Have a great day, members.
See you, comrades.
Thanks, Annie.
Due to unprecedented civil unrest, all forms of protest are now classified as acts of terrorism. This is not a test. This is not a test.
Coward, traitor, liar, foe, grabber, tyrant by the toe, fucker, fascist, puppet, show, line them up like dominoes. Never bow to a bitch in a toupee, yelling free speech but controlling what the news say. The Lorax called, it's time to find a new shape. RuPaul's never seen a beat that bad on Drag Race. Ain't it obvious the person in the office is a racist? Brad came in the mail, but he opposes immigration. And someone's abolita, not a foreign armed invasion. That would be the masked man raiding graduation ceremonies. I'm Mark Van, snatching people off the street. Broken Amendments 5, 10, and 14 at least. But please tell me again, oh, this is still democracy.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.